You are here because God still has a purpose with you. May it be that we will be available for whatever God has for us. We do not know when we are going. It can be today, it can be tomorrow. You know, the first time when Pastor Mawino fell very sick, he had come to Lusaka here to seek medical attention. Well, I had to go with Brother Mwansa to Choma. He had come all alone here, you know. So I sat down with the church elders and the leaders. And I was telling them the state in which your pastor is in. He will need to take a break. And we told them, my home is open for that. If he can stay in my home for a month, just to stay away from pressures of the ministry, and thankfully they were agreeable, you know, they were able to release him, and he came, he stayed with us for a month. And against all odds, later on, I mean, he just recovered, he became strong, and that was wonderful to see. But sometimes God just gives us a little extension, you know. I think from the time he got well, has it been a year or two? A year? A year plus, yeah. But we are thankful that the Lord granted that little extra time of a year. And, I mean, he finally was in good shape again. Yeah. So, it's time to think of precious memories, right?
Yeah.
We shall just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we read in your word, when Job received those sad news concerning the passing on of his children, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken. We thank you for the time you gave to our brother during the time he sojourned with us here on earth. And we know he has crossed the river on the other side. And we know it's a matter of time, Lord, that each one of us have to say goodbye to this world. We now, Lord, reflect on the purpose of life. We cannot bring the brother back to us, no matter how we may miss him. But certainly we know that it's a matter of time when a similar announcement, in perhaps different circumstances, will be announced about each one of us. Our desire and hope is to be found at that time when you come to take your people. But time is not in our hands, neither do we know the day nor the hour. We can only pray that may you help us to be sober, to be humble, to count every hour we have, to be loving to people we have around us, because we do not know the last moment we shall see them. So, Father, help us. We are so thankful for his life, and now we pray for his family. Help our dear sister who is now a widow. We pray for the church. Have mercy on it, O Lord. Remember them. In Jesus' name. Bless us, Father, as we get into your word. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yesterday we were in Chongwe. I think the brothers have mentioned that. And works have started. We've drawn the lines. And our two brothers, together with other workers, they need to start digging the foundation. And that church will be bigger than this. Yeah, because I think it's in a very good, nice location. You know, it's just off the tarmac. The tarmac is here, then you are at the church site. So it will be a beautiful place for meetings, you know. So we thought, let us just have dimensions which later on we won't have to change and say, let's make it bigger and all that. Let's just make it 20 meters by 9 meters. Because it was done 20 by 10, right? Okay, so yeah, that is what was done. Because this place usually is very small. You end up having people standing when we have these gatherings. But I think 20 meters by 10 can accommodate a good number, right? And I appreciate all of you who usually send in something. Not everyone can be a missionary. Not everyone can go in the field. But the number of usual, you say, I've sent something, you know, it can be used for this, it can be used for that. That's the spirit to have. You know, like, was it 2-3 months ago? It should have been Brother Isaac, I think he sent something. He had heard about the construction projects in Chongwe, so, and the other one in Mtenguleni. So he just said, see where this can be used. So I forwarded the money to the treasurer, and I told him just to hold this, we'll see where it can be used. So I had forgotten even about it, but then when Brother Mansa told me this morning the amount which needs to be released tomorrow for the labor, I remembered there's an amount Brother Isaac had sent. And so that means works can start tomorrow. We have something to pay the people. But Brother Isaac was not on site with us yesterday. He probably doesn't even know that. But he was with us because he put his hand for that to be done, right? That wouldn't have happened. We would have said, I think let's start next week because, you know, we don't yet have resources. But someone had the burden to say, this, let it just go for construction, whatever construction it is. And that is how we work together as a team. Those who have the time, they go there. Any little amount, it's a blessing for you to be part of the project. You don't have to be there, but let your heart be there. And I'm not saying it's only Brother Isaac who's done that. There are a number of you who do that. I'm just giving an example of how you can be absent, but your heart yet is there. So we have different ministries, amen? I was telling Brother Chirwa yesterday, I said, now this is your ministry. Because he is into construction. So we were asking him a lot of questions. What's the meaning of this? You know, he puts certain metal bars at an angle, he runs the ropes and all that. He says, no, that is just for this indication. It doesn't mean the block will be here. I said, hey, brother, We are all your flock here now. And and I mean, he had his full energy when doing that work, because that's his place. And we were all waiting. And we knocked off late, you know. So at the end, I told him, brother, you see, the way sometimes people can complain that Brother Piri preaches for long services, even your ministry has made us knock off late.
Yeah.
So he wanted to make sure everything has been done properly, right? So when Brother Tavula is ministering or I'm ministering, sometimes we drag it on because we want that little peg, that little rope, let it be there. And yeah, now we can say the service is done. Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to share a thought which I had hinted at in yesterday's fellowship in Chongwe. And who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Let us go to Psalm
24.
All right, shall we read Psalm 24? Shall we all read together? The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Heavenly Father, may you bless the reading of your word. And now may you grant words which need to be spoken and help our hearts that they may have a resting place for that word, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray with thanks in our hearts. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 3, there is a question. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? So here the Lord is being illustrated as being on a hill. And then a question is asked, who shall go up to that hill and be where the Lord is? Who shall stand in his holy place? Now, do you notice that the hill is called the hill of the Lord? That speaks of possession. He's not just on that hill, but it's a hill of the Lord. Now, for the question to say who shall ascend, it means man is down there. Now, do you realize that you could not ask Adam this same question? Adam did not need to ascend onto the hill of the Lord because he was already a pure son of God. Adam was made upon the hill of the Lord in the presence of God. Why was he able to stand in the presence of God? He was in the image and the likeness of God. Remember, the word of God says, God is spirit. And they that worship him must be in the state that he is in, as spirit. Amen. When you look at the little puppies or the little chicks, there is a way a mother hen communicates to the chicks and they are able to comprehend that and follow what the mother hen is doing. Why? They are of the same kind. Right? If you as a human being tries to communicate to a cow or a hen, there won't be communication. Effective communication occurs when you are on common ground, common nature, same culture. You know, there are certain things I can speak to you as a fellow Zambian. If I speak it to another person, maybe from Europe, even if I was to translate it word for word into English, they won't understand that. Because communication is more than words. Communication is also founded and flavored by culture. There are certain things, words, you speak it here, the same word, like, you know, the remark Brother Stroman made, he says, I notice here, you know, when greeting each other, people say, boss, boss. He says, that's a strange expression. I can't use that in Norway. Now, so, if someone from another culture comes, and when communicating says, oh, boss, muzainda ntau banji koja. Now, that person will first wonder, why am I being called boss? I'm not a manager. I'm not this. Because that's what the word boss primarily means. Someone senior, someone who is a manager, someone who is... That's the dictionary definition, right? But you and I, when I say, oh, boss, is that what we mean? No. The meaning has taken another cultural twist, right? You can use it on anyone, and I mean, it's just part of our vernacular communication. We've taken an English word and localized it. Now, when you look at Adam in Eden, he understands the language of God. When he woke up from sleep that day and saw a woman, you didn't need to tell him who she was and what is she is for. He said, this is bone of my bone, this is flesh of my flesh. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. He already knew concepts of fatherhood, motherhood. How did he know that? He had a prophetic revelation. Because he came from God. You know, when you come from a certain creature, you inherit the nature. You don't have to be taught about that nature. It will be intrinsic in you. You feel thirsty. Because you were made to have water in you. Right? And yesterday when ministering in Chongwe, I used a simple story and we tried to dramatize it a little more to try to paint a picture of what we're trying to say. A farmer once took an egg of an eagle and put it among the hens. Now, so many times people do that. You know, they'll take my eggs here, what do you call that? Nkanga, yes, guinea fowl. I remember as a little boy, my grandmother liked to do that. She would take eggs of a guinea fowl and she would put it underneath her hen. I don't really understand what is behind that act, but I guess guinea fowls, I think they usually have too many eggs, I think. And maybe they don't warm them properly, I don't know. But she used to do that. Now, in our story, this farmer took the egg of an eagle and put it underneath a hen. So when that egg broke forth and there was an eagle coming out, the other eggs of chickens also, they hatched and it was little chicks which came out. Now here is something. That was an eagle, but it was born among chicken, hens. Now, do you know you are made in terms of your behavior, the way you speak, the way you think, the way you have priorities over things? Do you know your environment plays a very important role? Nkalidweyatu, misango, mwamineti ganizira, mwamineti spending irandarama, mwamineti ishtirama chitidwe. Kambiri, pamalo, pamine tiriri, timatenga misango ija, kuchokera pamalo, pamine tinkara. Simamen. Yeah. Your culture influences you. And this little ego was growing. She sees all the other little chicks, they are eating from the ground. Eating from the thrownaways. It also was doing that. Now that may go on for some time. But at a certain point it won't work properly. Because when you look at the build of an eagle, its body is bigger than a chicken. And it does not eat these things the chickens eat. When you look at how big it is, just the wings, they can stretch very long. All that has a purpose. Because God built it to fly very high. Right? You know, God does not equip you with something which won't fit for the purpose you're supposed to do. Look at the wings of a chicken. They're very small. Because God never meant for it to fly. Forget about what Charles Darwin tells you about evolution. When God designs something, He knows where it needs to work. Now, because of the nature of work it needs to do, there are certain foods it needs to eat to build it for the work it needs to do. So when you look at an eagle, it needs a lot of protein. That is why an eagle eats meat.
Right? Amen. Yeah, it eats meat and it is very strong. Hey, I heard someone say, I don't know how correct it is, but someone said, you can't just use your hands to pull off feathers of an eagle. When you kill a chicken and you want to dress it up, I don't understand why they say dressing it up when actually you're removing the feathers, you know. So when you want to remove those things, I mean, it's very easy. You just pull them out like that. I heard someone say, for an eagle, you can't do that. You really need to apply strength. Why do you think that is so? That thing can fly very high where wind currents are very strong. I think if a chicken wanted to imitate an eagle and tries to fly where an eagle flies, I think it will come down dressed up. Yeah. When a storm comes, all birds will fly away and hide. You know, there are those strong storms which can rip off a roof. An eagle loves that. Because that storm will make it go higher. Well, that's an interesting ability. It's a great ability. Its sight is very sharp. You know, you can stand there and you're not seeing fish. From that high, lofty position, an eagle will spot a fish. It will narrow its focus. And it will come. It won't miss the target. It will just go down there with its talons. It will lift that fish. It also has a lot of strength. It can lift a sheep, a lamb, an animal, lifting it up. That's quite a lot of strength, you know. Now, you understand why it eats the way it eats and why it eats what it eats. Now, back to our little story. This little eagle sees the chickens eating chicken food. It will come time, it won't be getting full with that food. Because it's built for something stronger. Now remember, we're using this as a parable, right? It will be telling their friends, ina sinivera kukuta vamine kutiku jive. Probably their friends will start making fun. We su kuta. Mamine tajela. Ina sinikuta. It's not because there's something wrong with that ego. It's because it's in a wrong place. And being in a wrong place, yes, it is eating chicken food, but that does not mean it was meant to eat that food. However, it can adjust. Ingazijairize basi twamene twakuja tuda twacha bechabe basi ambokuta. You know, a body has an ability to adjust to circumstances. However, if it goes the path of adjusting, yes, it will be eating, but that will take away its abilities for what it's meant for. Instead of growing bigger, it will have a stunted growth. The wings won't be strong to stand the current of the high altitude it needs to be flying. Why? The environment will limit its ability. When the mother hen quacks, quack, 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 it will also start following the way the other little chicks are following. Understanding that new language does not mean it was meant to speak that language. That's the trouble of being in a wrong environment. You can completely lose your identity. Until you look in the mirror, you are an ego and you convince yourself, I'm a chicken. But one day, as the story goes, the mother eagle was flying. Flying. It knew there's an egg I lost. And it kept on crying out. Whenever it does that, all the chicks don't understand that language, the other hens. Actually, when they hear that, mother hen told them, when you hear that, it's time to run away. Eagles kill. So when sounds, all the little hens, they run away. Even that eagle also was running away from where it is supposed to belong. But although it was joining the running, inside it, there was something about that cry to which its heart was connecting. Because there is something in you. You know, it's like a new baby. It has never tasted milk when it is born. But the first time a baby tastes that, you don't have to explain the chemistry to say, you know, you need to eat this because inside here there is this, there's protein for you, there's this. A baby doesn't need explanation. But once it tests the milk, it knows this is the stuff I need to take. It loves it. When a baby tests that, the baby connects with that substance. So the mother eagle would cry, "Quee!" The hens running away. But there was something in the heart of that little eagle, you know. See, that resonates with what I am inside. All the other hens were running. But one day, that little ego says, I think it won't hurt me turning the head and just looking. It wanted to see where that sound was coming from. When it turned and looked, she looked at the stretch of the wings. Said, aha! That makes sense. These guys have been laughing at me, how my wings are abnormal and they are big, but I can see a resemblance there. Hallelujah! It stretched its wing. So this makes sense. I always wondered why I have this extra wing. I think I belong up in the heavens. This is where this is meant. You know, it's like the way we came to the message. Do you know? You know, let me tell you this. The first time we started reading these message books, you know, I read Finale by Brother Gann. Oh, it caught my attention. Then I read Corinthians Book of Correction. Brother Branham. You know what? The next thing I did was, I think I need to read this again in the mountain. I need to pray and fast as I'm reading it. There are many things I couldn't understand, but I knew this is the stuff I'm enjoying. Now, you see, I thought my fellow other friends in the Pentecostal system, we enjoy that. I remember giving this little booklet to one who used to be our group leader, you know. It was Finale. I said, hey, this is a very great book. Now, when I was reading Brother Gunn's book, The Finale, I had an experience, you know. As I was reading, I fell in a trance. And I saw a barefoot man in a corridor. He was carrying a torch, like that one we have put on the Nyali t-shirts, the one we took to the crusade. You know, the person carried a torch in a dark place. And he screamed, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." When I came out of that, I said, this is different stuff. I knelt down coming from that experience. It was at night. I prayed. It was just new things happening, you know. I took that same book which excited me. Gave it to this couple. You know, they used to lead us in this, what we called evangelism group. I said, read this book. Oh, something will happen. It just touched me. He said, oh, okay. So they got it. And I was waiting for their response. You know? After a week, I tried to visit them, you know. I said, did you read the book? The wife said, that book, to be honest with you, there's nothing I'm understanding. Actually, you can have it. She gave it. She showed me a face like, what is this stuff you're reading now? Said, book we pali bevaminver. Actually, mungai tank. I felt disappointed, you know. But there was nothing wrong. I had just found my foot. You understand that?
Amen.
You try to give meat to a chicken, it will break its beak, right? Maybe it doesn't need that. It's earthbound, but an ego needs it. You understand that? So we were excited receiving the message. The more we read, the more we heard it, we said, hallelujah, glory to God. But when we shared it to others, we saw fear in them. They felt like, oh, we're getting into a cult and all that. They ran away from it. Chickens run away when they hear an eagle scream. They think there's death there. They think this is not where we belong. Hey, you can't force things. But when God, when His word calls you, you can try to ignore it, but you will know this is where I belong. Right. Now look at this. When that little eagle saw the mother eagle, the mother eagle was in a high place, in a high hill. The question is, how shall this little eagle ascend to the place where the mother eagle is? Remember, whatever it needs to ascend to that high hill comes by the providence of God. God has already put it in the wings. God has already put it in its nature. There's already wind on which it needs to ride on. But it never had awareness. Everyone say awareness. That's very important. Without awareness, an ego can live like a chicken.
But when that moment of awareness, there is connection one makes. Is this the life I was meant to live? With awareness, one wakes up to start walking in the promises of God. Remember the testimony I told you about Brother John Mark? God had told him, there is a house I've prepared for you. So, they left, was that Soroti? They were going to Karamoja. But even when they went in Karamoja, they started staying in a unipot, one-roomed house, with the whole family he had. Yet, the house which God prepared for him was just next. But everyone used to be afraid of that house, because there were demons in that house. The army general who used to be in there, you know, he used to have a lot of charms. And everyone who tried to enter that house was dying. 7 people died. You enter in, you die. And so they locked the house. No one was to go in that house. It was in the army barracks. But the house was big. The house had more rooms. But do you know who was staying in there? Devils. Yet, that's the place God wanted him to take. It was supposed to be his house. But his whole family were packed in a little tiny unipot. But he's crushed his head. God told us he'll give us a house. Hey, let's find out. Who is the owner of this house? But they were told no one goes in there and comes out alive. Then Brother John Mark became aware. Everyone say awareness. Because you won't need God's audible voice every time to come into your ears. God may show you something once, but you need to be spiritual enough to be aware. Brother John Mark now had to say, he had to connect. He told his wife, this must be the house. He told the man who had the keys, give us, we can stay in there. The man said, Luenu. Everyone who goes in there dies. He says, no, we'll go in there. He says, okay, your blood is not on my head. The man was so sure this man will come out a dead person. He gave him the keys. And Brother John Mark's wife says, yeah, let us go in. What a woman. She had faith, huh? I asked a question during midweek. So I said, how many of you sisters would do such a thing? You're even encouraging your husband. Most of you say, how ingenan first mpempedelemo. Right? But Brother John Mark took his family, they went in, and he says there was a bad smell when they entered. And as they started praying, they heard footsteps running out, spirits running out. You know, there are things which happen in the spirit sense. We can't explain them, but demons are very real. And he says after they ran out, they cleaned the house. And they took their belongings in there. In the morning, that soldier came and said, are you still there? Are you still alive? That's the question he asked. Are you still alive? He said, yes, we are alive. So that shook the man. He says, what power kept you in there? And Brother John Mark answered, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But this is the lesson I want you to get. God had spoken to our brother, John Mark, that I have a house for you. But do you know there are certain things God has equipped us with and he expects us to use those things? Amen. Part of the things God has given you is awareness. You should be able to discern. Your mind should be alert. Your mind should be able to remember. Because without that, John Mark would have continued living in a uniport, and the devil yet is a tenant in his property next door. Right? You know what? The devil has done that in many people's lives. Even some people here, I wouldn't be surprised. Where a life has become imprisoned and you've accepted that terrible situation as your own. Living as a chicken when God made you to be an eagle. Some believers live like chickens with fear. Pogona, sangazimi na light. Hata wenyeza na nightmare the previous night vingabwele foot. Ni believer huyo. Faith and fear can't stay in one place. Right? Amen. You need to know who you are in Christ. Paul says we enter boldly in his presence. We no longer carry the shame of sin. We walk boldly. Now remember, this is not something you just wake up your emotions and say, let me walk boldly. No. Your victory, your blessing, your boldness is up on that hill where the presence of God is. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you know what? The verse we started reading says, the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. Those brothers who were in Chongo yesterday, are you noticing the headman looks happier now, full of joy? Amen. The first time we saw him, before the crusade, he was looking like a very bound man. But when you are preaching the word, he's there saying, amen. He's there smiling. That's a good testimony. When the light of God comes, it sets people free. Hallelujah. Amen. So, on that high hill, there is your liberty. There is your joy. Joy in Christ. You don't have issues with people. You know, you can live in bondage by carrying burdens in your heart. Kumangi kaso. Uja ulinai nakafukwa. Uja. In the family, wajasin kamba nao. People live as prisoners in this world. Families can live in prison. This one doesn't talk to the other. That one, wayama wanashita so na so. But if you are a child of God, you are a child of Him who created everything. You are a free person. You shake the hand with any person. And you love them. You have no boundaries. Because you are on the hill where the Lord is. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you know, there's a question. Who shall ascend into that hill? You know, human beings, they want a place of liberty, a place of freedom, a place of true joy. But the devil misleads them. They find themselves on different kinds of hills. But you know, the hill of the Lord, a question has been asked, who shall ascend there? How shall this little ego go to where the mother ego is? The first thing is, there has to be some image and likeness. Even if a chicken starts desiring to be like an eagle, it doesn't have it in its wings to go to where the ego is. The fact that there is a desire in you to say, this is not a place where I'm supposed to be. I can live a better spiritual life. Do you ever have such a hunger? Like, I think there is a place of prayer I can be than where I am. Have you ever had that feeling? If you are hungry for something, you were meant for that thing. Bring a cow here, you throw grass, oh my, it will really chew that thing. It is hungry for those leaves and for that grass. Why? God made a cow to eat that. Bring a lion, throw grass before it. It won't even sniff. It won't take a moment. It will just look. There's no attraction. There's no hunger. Because a lion eats meat. Are you hungry for prayer? Do you have a desire to soar high in the spirit? Don't neglect that hunger. There is a nature in you which is calling out for that. So who shall ascend to that high hill? Oh, an answer has been given to us in verse 4. Let us all read verse 4. He that hath, let us read that again. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Four things there. For you to be in that hill, your hands have to be clean. What are hands? Hands are works. Works in your life. When you look at the works of God, the hand of God, first I want you to observe. All the four things mentioned here are things which God has. We were made in his image. So for us to be on that hill, we need to have these things. Clean hands. You know, the hands of God are good. Whatever works he does, they have clean, pure intention. Right? When you eat an orange, you say, this is good. You know why you are saying this is good? Because in the beginning, when God made an orange, let the earth bring forth. And there the tree came up. God says, this is good. When you see the sweetness in the fruit, when God was making it, he was thinking about mankind. Say, think Adam as I kondai. His tongue will appreciate sweetness. Right? When God made it, he said, this is good. When Adam ate, he says, this is good. Adam's testimony matched with the testimony of God in the beginning. Right? Amen. And God put it, say, okay, an avocado, it will take maybe 5 years. That's just an example. We don't know how Adam's Eden, how long things used to grow. But whatever period God put, there is a work of preparation in that tree. For it to have the right nutrients.
So that when you eat it now, it supplies, it does work in your body the way it's supposed to work. When you eat a banana, you know, a banana is rich in potassium. Where does that potassium come from? It's in the soil. It's dirt. But you can't eat it in that state. God has put a mechanism in the banana tree. He has done plumbing work for extracting potassium out of the soil and put it in a form and in a state which when you eat, you say, this is good. But you go in a laboratory and they tell you this is potassium. Try to eat it and see if you say it is good. Or try to eat it from the soil. It won't be good for you. It will kill you. So, the hands of God made that banana tree. And when God made it, he said, this is good. The works of his hands are clean. They have good intentions. Adam did not eat a banana and say, hey, I'm having a running tummy. I think this is poison. I think this is not good. No. What God makes is perfect. It's we who spoil and messes up things. Then here comes a human being. Now, this is this side of the fall. Remember, Adam was on the hill in the presence of God. But he fell from the presence of God. And now there's this gap. And the question comes, who was sent into the hill of the Lord? Because we are down. There's the fall. And man has been trying to create a radar to go up there. Radar of religion. Science. Because now, human beings think, oh, we can enter God's laboratory. This banana is good. How, instead of it growing this period of time, how can we make it quickly grow? We can tweak the genes here and there. To make it bigger. To make it nicer. So man can now tweak this gene so that something grows very quickly. But you know, those things are not without problems. They're not without problems. And why is man doing all this thing? The works of man are not clean. Man will say, okay, here we have a better banana for you. Eat it. It has a great taste. It will bring health in your home. But when you really check, it's about business. You won't see the intentions of those hands. Sometimes, many times actually, there are things which are not even safe. That is why now there are standards organization in the world. Whatever someone claims he has made, it has to be subjected to, is this thing good? Is this thing right for consumption? Why? You can't trust the hands of men. We need those institutions. Because the works of man's hands have profit motive. Right? They'll make bread. You know, there's this man, he went for a business meeting. He had a bakery, and these other people also had a bakery. So when it was time, as he's discussing with these other senior bosses, it was time for them to have to break off for a meal. So this man who was selling bread in his shop,
This is a true story, by the way. He told the workers, okay, can you go buy bread at such and such a place? Oh. So his colleague says, but you have bread here in your bakery. I mean, you sell bread. Why do you... No. We, you know, your own things don't taste good, so we buy it elsewhere. He did a little research because he wasn't satisfied with that answer. So what he found is there's a little something they add to the bread so that it stays longer on the shelf. But why did man do that? So he wants it to stay longer on the shelf so that it doesn't spoil quickly, so that more money, so that it's not going to waste. That's how dirty the hands of man are. He himself doesn't want to eat it because he wants to avoid what he puts in there. God help us in this world we live in. I said, God help us in this world. The works of man's hands are evil. They're not clean. You remember the other time? I think it was on the news. You know, there's this good company. They make good drinking water. They've invested a lot to have such a brand. But one day, I think that was a Chinese man. I don't know what team was that. There were police officers and these other people. They raided these premises. You know what they found? They were making mineral water, stealing the brand of the other good company, and the place was so dirty. And they were just taking water from the tap. Then we forgot my plastic for my bottle. It just looks exactly like the real original brand. And so now, the owner of the true brand was being interviewed and he was very upset. And he was saying, when people get cholera, I'm the one who get arrested. People will say the cholera came from my bottles, but look at what he is doing. He doesn't, the place is not clean and all that, and he's using my label. Now, you know, there are these people, I don't know who they are, but many times when someone is doing business, they want to buy where it's cheaper, right? So you find a lot of people say, kulio cheaper, niamene brandy, but kuliko cheaper kuina. The other one is cheap because he's cutting a lot of corners, isn't it? He just gets it from tap water. And it's cheaper, but very expensive because people get sick when they drink stuff like that. Him is earning a profit. He doesn't care who drinks this water. You know, there are these patches of water. They are in these, what do you call them? Sachets. Drip. I think you're an expert at that. You know, there was a time, I'm not saying all the drips are bad, but I'm showing you the other side. People look at an original thing and they'll make their own. So one day I was thirsty. I said, okay, let me drink something. Just got it from these shops, you know, in the streets. I tried to do this. So a lot of sediments. Said, my. I remember the other time I had drunk and I had a running tummy. I just threw it away. That does not mean all of them are bad. But obviously, someone was making it in the house, right? There's so much that goes on in communities that we don't know. Why? The works of man can be so dirty. He doesn't care or mind about the health of other people as long as it benefits him. If you are a believer and you are in any kind of business, it's very important to do work with clean hands. Whatever you do, don't do what everyone does. Be honest in your dealings. That's what I believe. I don't believe in that. If ethics are compromised, I don't want to have anything to do with that. Because the word of God in Revelation says, God will judge those who destroy the earth. That makes me know God is interested in the way we manage this environment. If we can't be trusted with earthly work, how shall we be entrusted with spiritual things? But here we see something. The works of man's hands are evil. Even when it comes to church work, some people have started ministries or churches to have an income. You know that? Yes, they pray for people. Yes, they do all these things. When you go closer, you find a profit motive. Yeah. There's someone, he had traveled to some big church in Nigeria at one time. This was a workmate, the time I used to work at LBTC. And he says, oh, Mr. Piri, most of these churches you see are really business entities. He said, when we arrived, oh, we were put in a special section for visitors only. Oh, we were happy being put in a nice place. Afterwards, we were told, now from here, it's time to eat. You know, you are our visitors. He says, we sat in a place to eat. I was saying, but here, the way they receive people, we need, as Zambians, we need to learn something. Church in a restaurant. Restaurant. After meal, we are still wa samba na kumanja na tuma toothpicks wa chita meno tuma bills tu ambobuela. Kaili sunga kani wajia kudala.
You can't refuse, you've already eaten.
Ah, their eyes were opened a little bit. Say, oh, kasi we need to pay. Those who are very spiritual, as they quote in Pentecostalism. No, I mean, whatever they've served, instead of us buying elsewhere, I mean, it is still a good gesture. After that, they were told there are lodges available where you can sleep if you don't mind. So in the church compound, there's a hotel. You know when they entered there? There are books by the same pastor of that church. So when it's time to go, say, oh, these books, the price is this and that if you want to go with them. In the shop, you get them at $20. But since you were in the church hotel, I mean, you get it at $5. So you know what has happened? You didn't go to attend church. You were a business commodity. You were a client. You were wooed through advertising. You went there saying, I want wakanuone kwa mumoyo wanga. In Nigeria, there are a lot of these people who claim they see wakanua neko, waenda. And for sure they really see what is in your pocket. They see, wakuona zona. You go there, you've bought the book, you've paid at the restaurant. It was written in the word of God that in the last days, false prophets will arise. They will make merchandise out of you. It is written. It's in the word of God. When you look at it, you say, oh my, these people have done great works of God. Yeah, you are seeing the works, but when God looks at it, he sees their hands are dirty. Brethren, as we go about doing ministry work, let's never make our hands dirty. In that hill, you need to have clean hands. Whatever work you do, even in the house of God here, never do it with a motive to get a benefit out of it. Those are dirty hands. Do it to the glory of God. Hallelujah. And a pure heart. A pure heart. What is a pure heart? A pure heart is a sincere heart. These look simple, but they are things God looks at. These simple things. When we come before God the way we have come, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. We are in the high hill, in the presence of God. But if we are worshiping and say, oh, we are in the presence of God, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ. But when you check our hearts, uyu kulikachimo kamena abisa. This one, his life is not straight. He's from fornicating. The one song leading, he has a wife at home, but also he has 2-3 girlfriends. I said, oh, praise the Lord, God is good. You know, we can manage to hide from each other. But you can't fool God. You can't. God sees the heart. Now, if it's a bunch of people, all of them are hypocrites, be less assured, that's not the hill of the Lord where they are. That's not the hill of the Lord. God is not there. Amen. There has to be pure heart. That's when we can see the presence of God. Let us read Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Did you hear that? That should be our desire. Fellowship is beautiful when people come with pure hearts. We're not saying everyone has to be perfect. I mean, we are here because we are still imperfect, right? Is that so? But it's God who cleanses for one to have a pure heart. You know, when the Lord manifested to Brother Branham, he said, if you will be sincere. He didn't say, if you fast for 7 days, you'll be seeing miracles in your ministry. That's not what God said. No. In Pentecostalism, when we talk about
weapons of our spiritual warfare. Emphasis is on fasting. Emphasis is on following certain principles, and there are all these teachings, you know. But when Brother Branham told his testimony about what God told him over his miraculous ministry, hey, that's the first time I think the church world heard that. To say, hey, if you will be sincere, not even cancer will stand before you. How many people knew that sincerity had something to do with his spiritual warfare? That was like a new world opened before the church. If you will be sincere and get people to believe you, when we come before God, there are certain other things which need to be in place, and they are more fundamental. You can't just try to climb the hill and you disregard those things. When we come before God, when we come here to worship, we must come with utmost sincerity. The other day, Brother Chavula was testifying about this evangelist who used to speak French. And he had such a unique gift, you know. I've never seen a thing like that. I have to tell you that, you know. Would be seated in a room. And there would be an interpreter there. I remember one time we were all seated. And he never used to be talkative, you know. He used to be quiet. And often in fastings. And he would get up. He says, I'm seeing a pastor. He's coming. He mentions his name. In a minute or two, he says, this is the person I was talking about. I saw him coming. Ha! Ha!
We were seeing things at that time.
Very unusual. Very unusual. On one crusade, there's a man we used to go to pray with him in Kalikiliki. The man used to have a problem with a leg. His name was Sakala. Just an insignificant person lost in a crowd like that. We encouraged him to attend the crusade. Remember, we were not pastors that time. We were just little faces in the crowd. Ushering. And this man started his visions. He says, I see a man. Your name is Sakala. And you have a problem in your leg. Now, you know what used to happen? When we know he's at such and such a place and we have the opportunity to go there. You know why there was that behavior? You knew that when we enter there, there's nothing hidden. Now, you know, such gifts are not common. But we don't have to wait for such a gift for us to be sincere. That was just a human being. That's just a human being telling you and I know and I see everything. Right? When we come before God, let's have pure hearts. It's in the presence of Almighty God. I mean, think about it. When I heard the news about this funeral, it kind of shook my heart. I said, oh my. How the first dream came, the second one came, and then it has happened. You know what that means? God knows our lives. He even knows when you are going. That should make you careful in the way you live.
Right? Should make you careful how you deal with another person. Those NDE experiences I've been telling you. People who've died and they came back. You know, all of them tell one story. When you die, the first people you see, when you come out of the body, they say first it's a lonely experience because you realize when you want to talk to these people, they don't hear what you're speaking. You want to talk to the doctor, he can't hear you. One man explained, he says, you know, someone was coming, a doctor, and I even gave way. I thought he saw me, I gave way. Then another moment, someone came and they passed through me, then I realized I'm dead. A lot of them say, when it comes to that place, that is when it sinks down in you that you are very lonely. You can see everyone, but they can't see you. You can hear what they're speaking, but they can't hear what you are speaking. And then they say, then you start seeing people who died. Then that's when you know now, these were in the same realm. And almost all of them, they say the people you see are people you were close with or your life interacted with them. Your relatives, someone you knew, they're the ones you see. Think about that. That is why, let us not squander our time here on earth. You may not like someone, they may have hurt your feelings. Hear me. Don't carry anything in your heart against anyone in this life. Brother Branham says, do what you can to love everyone. It doesn't matter what they did to you, just love everyone. Because that's what truly matters across there. Hallelujah. Have a pure heart. If someone starts a story talking about someone and you don't have information on that, don't be part of it. Don't have an impure heart. Don't allow a lie to come out of your mouth. I was reading something. They said, Billy Paul was asked, you saw your father pray for the dead coming to life, the blind seeing. So Billy Paul was asked, what's the greatest miracle you saw in your dad? I was touched by the answer he gave. He says, the great miracle about my dad, you couldn't tell who was his enemy or who was his best friend. He related with everyone the same. Even people, you know, who could do bad things to him. How many say, I would love to be like that, you know? I think that should be our desire, right? Now, you can't act your life like that. That's a high level of life. You can't go there by trying to flap your wings. God has to put that nature in you by the power of his spirit. And what did Jesus say? For you to see God, you have to be pure. When I hear Brother Branham speak on the tape, that man was very sincere. Very humble. He never hid any of his intentions. He would stand on the pulpit and say, now you know why I'm taking up so much time holding you, because there's nothing I can do if that presence is not here. That is why I'm taking all the time talking and talking. I'm completely helpless until the presence of God comes. He would start one story from another. You know, they say he was the most long-winded preacher. He can hold you for 3 hours. He talks and talks and talks.
Later on you say, sorry, I'm holding you too long, but you know, I'm waiting for that angel to come. And then when the presence of God comes, he says, okay, he's here. Now, where's the patient? You can see he changes his attitude in the way he does everything. Oh my. I never cease to thank God for bringing the message in my life. To have heard from that ministry. Because in Pentecostalism, oh my, we were lost in all sort of things. But hearing a message from such a sincere heart, that is gold. That's gold. Don't lose it. You go in many of these places, people dance, people sweat. They even knock off, we are from church. What was the sermon? Fire, fire, fever, fever. Basi, makomboka. Makomboka, muchitana change. You even remove your sweat. Let us never lose the value of what God has brought us to. Who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity? These are people who've been that hill. People whose soul is not filled with vanity. If we call ourselves believers, and wedding comes, we all want to see which most expensive vehicle can we hire. You see people on the lineup, young people all twisted, not dressed accordingly. And you can see everyone dresses as though he wants to compete with another one. When the preacher comes in, he looks like a president who has walked in with a red carpet. Why having such vain things around? Those things have no value. You need to know you're not dancing on the holy hill if that's the environment you've created. In that hill, there is no place for vanity. Is that right?
Amen.
There's no true value in ourselves, brothers and sisters, for us to have pride or to exalt ourselves. We are all flesh and blood. One who is poor, when you die, you become worm. One who is rich, when you die, nawe vikuzi vizachoka. Same thing. So, when you walk in here, why should you walk like you have more value than another? One time I was in a country, as I was stepping in the pulpit, you know, you have people, they want to carry your Bible. Like you are quite a very important official. I stopped the deacon. I said, no, it's not heavy. I can carry it. No, Pastor. You can. I said, brother, it's not heavy. I can carry it. I grabbed my Bible. I love to walk with my Bible. There's nothing wrong if one wants to do it out of respect, but I was trying to send a message to him. So don't make a doctrine out of this. Amen. There has to be truthfulness. Don't, you know, this is a vain world we live in. Things are done for eye show. All other brothers are not yet married. I'll keep saying this. Don't go looking out for an expensive vehicle. For what? For what are you doing that for?
You see, if I'm attending an interview, I'll look for a nice jacket. I'll even go and buy, even if I'm not wearing jackets. I'll put a necktie. I'll spray perfume. So that when I go there, I impress the people, right? I didn't know people do those things, you know. And well, rightly so, because that's how the world works. You need to look presentable and all that. Nothing wrong with that. But if you think that's how we stand before God, you are very mistaken. When before someone goes to an interview, you go on the mirror. Good morning, sir. And you know, my years of experience you even record yourself. Okay, let me start again. I think there I'm not supposed to speak like that. What are you trying to do? To impress human beings because they don't know you? Is that correct? When you step in there, oh, they all look at you. They see the way you speak. They see the way you are dressed. And you are careful the way you speak. After the interview and you are given a job, you think you continue talking like that? Nika always repeated this. I'm not coming for interviews. Do you think we stand before God like that? No. When God calls you for an interview, don't waste the time looking for a jacket. Come as you are. That's what he wants to say. Because he even sees uta wabwele kaja see how avona kudala have. So God is not impressed by an outward look. He wants you to be, he doesn't want vanity. Vanity is anything without meaning, but you try to put it on you to conform. That's what happens during weddings. If there is a time when vanity is expressed, it's during wedding events and funeral. There is a lot of vanity on these two events. Wedding and funeral. Because 90, if not 99%, they are done for the eye of man. That is true. Poor brother doesn't even want a bicycle. He'll be in a GX. He's being driven like he's a minister. Ushtoona to come a brother, pa. I think na magani zosia limo. This is to appreciate my looks. Yeah, he arrives with a lineup. Cake. 15 pin. Cake. 15 pin. To my pockets, to 15 pin. Cake. 15 pin. Era of wedding cake, sivi mawama na kuwama, kaili kulivamene wa mafakamo vijati, firstborn akabadwe. Ha! You know, we tried to do that, I think, was it on Joshua? Taisunga, 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 kumpasa kapisa, kavurura. Oh, and we kept it all this while, the baby didn't like it. Listen to me. You don't have to trouble yourself over those things. Make a simple cake. If at all you need a cake. These are just traditions we got from the West. Believe me. People break their pockets over vanity. That is true. Pay a very expensive venue. Later on, you find yourself in credits. Oh, wedding cake. I need to pay this. It's important to live life as you are. We are not saying do something ridiculous. No, it's an important event. Do good work. But don't get into the sphere of vanity. Just to please people, to make them happy. The most important person you need to make happy on the wedding day is God. Not your family. God first. That's the most important thing. Because the first wedding which took place in Eden, it was in the presence of God. But now, you have to look for an expensive entertainer, the one who speaks jokes. The funnier he is, the more expensive it is. Really? You think that's what a wedding is about? Do you know we shouldn't have a joker during a wedding? A wedding, we are supposed to have a worship service. Did you know that? In a wedding, we are supposed to sing praise. Yamene timaimba kuno, ndeifanika. Because we are worshiping and praising God for what has happened. That is why we did away with the knife girl nonsense from here. The first time when I said I don't want a knife girl, manjo my wedding you say wama cheater. Wedding girl, wafuna wachoseko, wedding girl. Where is it written? And if there is a time, when there is a time, they expect immoral twists. It's wedding girl. This world is very cunning. Have you noticed the distance between the cake and where the wedding girl has to come from? Always, it's a good stretch. Have you noticed that? Chifuka palivina, palikucholewa, kufani kwa chitika. Between the door and here.
There is some breaking which should happen.
So she has to dance, she has to twerk, she needs to. And the more she does that nonsense, the more people come and give money. And believers' churches now are into that rubbish. Who told you we need to throw away the message because of a wedding event? Who told you that? It's so embedded in our culture that you really need to shake people's minds to get away from that stuff. So, when it's time to cut the cake, what do? We just say, Deacon, bring the knife. Yeah. It comes. Amen. Which is better? That's better. Why should you entertain yourselves to such immorality? And you know what we've done in this church? People, because previously it was a lot of hell. To make a lineup, say, young people, get on the... I saw enough of it on my own. You can tell them, povina, not you, unga kwani sekuzawandu. Ati po shaking, not mu bende maningi, mushte, uzakwani sa.
Will you manage to say when dancing?
Later on I said, okay, I think I have an answer to this. Those on the lineup should be couples. Problem was solved. That's how we solved that. Wapa lineup ni makapos, wakwati la kudala. And all demons went away. Because you know when couples are dancing? As they come together, wakumbuka yama fees yesterday. There won't be any funny things, you know, they are mature. Mukawaza atikastao, nikukwirana manja so, wakumbuka fight anoenza nao yesterday. Everything is in order. I think I prefer it that way, you know. Where there is order and maturity in the way you do things. Yeah. The point is vanity. Young man, young lady, don't be caught up in vanity. Be humble. Live to please God. And there is much joy in that. But if you live life to impress people, one word they'll speak to hurt your feelings, you'll be all crushed down. Blessed is a person who finds his value in God. Not finding your value based on how the society look at me. No. Now let's look at the last thing. No sworn deceitfully. Speaking words which are not true. Let us read Matthew 5, verse 33. We're speaking about truth and humility. Because vanity is really the opposite of truth. Vanity is an exaggeration of reality. One thing which usually takes women on weddings also, it's trying to change the way the complexion looks. Is that true? One is dark, they'll go use a certain powder. Kutuwa unekeko nwa sweater. Vanity. Who told you your color is bad? Just be yourself. Don't break the word of God because it's a wedding. Let's get away from that stuff. So what was your intention in doing that? Why unasanka yamene yo vaseline iwone kako ready? What was the motive behind that? This message is collapsing. Not the true message of God, but much of what you call end time message churches. All these elders are dying out. And we are young people remaining. Are you observing that? The question is, what church is there tomorrow? The problem is, even some people who are supposed to be elders, they are caught up in so much nonsense. Did you know that? So who will advise the young people? Who advise the young people? Who do that? Matthew 5, verse 33. And ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. Meaning, don't swear. But I say unto you, swear not at all. Neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. You know, when you swear, you are like making a promise. And you seem to make that promise attaching it to something you feel. If that doesn't happen, even that thing can be removed, or that thing, something can happen to it. If I tell a brother to say, niza kwanilisa, you know I've sweared by speaking that, huh? Right? A long time ago, there used to be a lot of swearing. Now I think it's moving away from our couch. There are symbols we used to do. Something like this. Are there people who still do such here? You need to be baptized again if you do that. What's the meaning of this? You mean we can kill you? Over your dead body and your neck? Please leave that for Nigeria, over dead body. But listen to what the Lord Jesus is speaking here. There's nothing you can swear on because you don't own anything in this world. Right? You don't know what will happen from here to there. Do you realize the words we are reading here are the similar words we read in Psalms, where it says, I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, verse 35, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool. Meaning, God owns everything. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head. So, swearing by the head. As though you own your own life, huh? Right? Because thou cannot not make one hair white or black. In other words, God owns even you. You don't belong to yourself. Right? That's what it means. You can't swear even upon your own body because you didn't even make one hair to grow out of you. So your body doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the Lord. So you don't say, ah, we're dressing in yanga, kai ni tupi yanga. No, it's not your body. Did you choose to be born? Do you even know when you die? You don't have options for those two things. You are what you are by the grace of God. That is why we say, the Lord willing, I'll travel. The Lord willing, I'll come and see you tomorrow. That's the language of a believer. The Lord willing. The Lord willing. You are expressing, I'm not my own. I don't own time. I don't own myself. Mwachifundo cha Mulungu. Amen. Then the Lord says, but let us all read verse 37. But let your communication, let us all read that, verse 37. But let your communication be nay. For whatsoever is more than this cometh of evil. Do you realize? These are simple principles we don't talk much about, but this is what our walk with the Lord should be like. In Christianity is not knowing deep mysteries here and there if we throw away simple basics. If you are a believer, you get a credit from a brother. All the time. That much talk actually reveals more. Now, you swore. No. A believer needs to be truthful. I think that's important. That's basic. If I get money from you, so okay, I'll give it back on such and such a day. You don't wait for that person to start calling you. Oh, natinitume. We need to correct those things in our lives. It's not right. Did you know that? Turn to your neighbor and tell them it's not right. With emphasis, it's not right. It's not right. Sounds funny, but do you know that God watches over those things? Right? When now the person is calling, you don't even pick the phone. Why getting into a life like that? You know God watches that. Then from doing that, you kneel down and pray like a very anointed person. You've borrowed something. It's not just money. It can be a simple thing. You borrowed the shovel. Have it in you to take it back without being reminded. I think that's right behavior. Right? Yeah. When integrity goes out, you live a very confused life. The trouble is, when you continue with wrong behavior, it reaches a point, it becomes normal to you. And the day someone will say, hey, this and that, you think you are being persecuted. It's not right. And God watches into those simple things. The behavior we portray in our workplace. We need to be truthful in everything, right? And what we are speaking here is truthfulness, the fourth thing, being truthful. You say, oh, but Brother Piri, economy, avuta, that's why it's nalipire ngongole. No, no, we are not saying you, a person can't go through such a difficult situation. But, and I don't know why I'm talking about credit. I hope there's no one here who owes something. But if you know that, I think I won't make it, it's decent to pick your phone and say, oh, say, the way my week is going, I think I may extend maybe by 2 or 3 days. You know, that's being a gentleman. Nizona, chuone sa, you care. Right? Not wakungo tuma, kungo tuma. So as wakuti nizari pera. That's not right behavior. What we need to know is this. On that hill, these things we're speaking of, that's how he is. His works are clean. God's heart is pure. What he speaks, his word is his integrity. When God says, I'll do this and that, his word will fulfill that. In the beginning when he made the sun, how many years has it been? Up to now, the sun is still doing what God commanded it to do. God's word is very faithful. What he says, you can be a witch, you can be, but the laws he has created, they are still faithful to what he spoke. Let us read, we go back to the psalm we started on. We are closing now. What will you receive on that hill? Let's see the thing you receive. Psalm 24 and verse 5. So when we reach that hill, what shall we receive? He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob, Selah. Now, one cannot try to be good in order to try. On that hill, you can only climb by God's grace. When you notice that my hands are not that good, my heart is impure. There is a lot of vanity in my life. Don't start trying to make your own staircase to be where God is. But when you see that, oh, here I am, that's my mother ego. I'm supposed to be like that. I have a desire. But I don't know where, how to get there. That's the place of surrender now. Where you truly acknowledge where you are. When you are down there, don't pretend like you're on the hill. For you to go up there requires total sincerity. Say, Lord, listen to what this psalmist said. Let's see him, how he prayed it in Psalm 121. When you realize that, hey, Brother Piri, I think I can see where I am, and I desire to be in that hill. My life is not right. My hands are dirty, actually. What do you do? Let's read what this psalmist said. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, I don't like the way it is phrased in the KJV. Anyone with a different version? NIV, Amplified, or any other version? Kumpiri. Kumpiri, is that plural? Yes. I want it read in a different version. Let me see if I can read it in another version. Psalm 121. Yeah. This is NIV. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Okay. Let's read it in another version. NLT maybe. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Are you seeing the way it is in another version? It says, I've looked up to the mountains. Here it's been put in form of a question. Does my help come from there? Let's see, Amplify. I will lift up my eyes to the hills of Jerusalem. From where shall my help come? So other versions put it as a question, like, there are many hills I'm looking at, but where will my help come from? You see, it is in us to be in that high place where we were meant to be. But our own efforts of trying to be good, of trying to have clean hands, of trying to be this and that, will only put us on a different hill. And when you look around, denominations have created all sorts of hills for themselves. And when you look at it, it looks like righteousness. It looks like holiness. It looks like the work of God. Well, when you look real close, the Lord's presence is not there. It's Ichabod. The glory has departed. We can be on top of a hill and say we are in the presence of God. Preaching can be done. Good works. Feeding the poor. But yet, it's a man-made scheme of things. You could be on one of these hills, which the psalmist says, I look to the hills. Where will my help come from? He has the right answer in verse 2. My help cometh from the Lord. It can only come on that hill where his presence is. Remember, even Mamarom sits on seven hills, right? God is on none of those hills. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. Do you realize these again are the same words we read? He owns everything. That's a place of brokenness. Where you say, Lord, help me. I want to have a good heart. Not through psychology or ethics. I want your goodness to be in my heart. Lord, I struggle with temper. I struggle with this and that. And I know in that hill, I can't be on that hill with this which I have. Remember the paradise experience of Brother Branham? This is perfect love, and no one can come to this place without it. That's what the prophet was taught. But what is perfect love? How shall I have it? You don't say, okay, Leron Pamande. Alliance Azan Kambisa, since Akaripa. So, Abuela Kukui Samun.
Then somebody provokes
you. Go like, praise God, yeah. How are you? you are trying to fight that pressure. That is not a pure heart. It's acting. And on our own, we can't reach that perfection sense. But God can help you. God can help me. If we say, Lord, where will my help come from? Help me. I have a weakness here, Lord. I'm not happy with it, and I know you're not happy with it. I know, Lord, I can do better than what I am. Forgive me because I'm a wrong representation of who you are. Open, sincere talk with your Heavenly Father. Then God will stretch out His hand and lift you. Because it is Him who says, be holy. But He is not saying act holiness, no. It's His hand to lift you. Because to fly, if today I told you fly, you can't do it, you don't have wings. Yet, He told John, come up hither. Come up higher. I show you things to come. John did not sit wondering, okay, which stool can I get on to come up higher? That place has no staircase to get there. When God told John, come up higher, he found himself going up. Whatever command God gives, it takes His word to sustain you in fulfilling that command. That is why a lot of young people struggle. Wrong thoughts. Pornography. I want to believe no one here is into that. But you cannot know what goes on in some young people's life. And you know that filthiness of pornography? People get addicted. These things happen. A young person looks innocent, is in church, but his mind has become corrupted with those dirty things. And sometimes parents, a parent may not know. And that child is going through that. When he's all alone, he knows the dirty things he goes to on that device. Listen to me. That mind is going to be captivated by evil spirits. And the thoughts are going to be corrupt and dirty. Until someone becomes imprisoned, a day can't pass, he wants to see those things. There are a lot of teenagers in the world who've become prisoners of that. Now, do you know research has shown that young people who've exposed themselves to that and they've become addicted, the time they get married, their marriage lives don't work properly. It becomes a stronghold. Very demonic. And sometimes someone will say, okay, I want to stay away from it. I'm now a believer. I've repented. One day, 2 days, someone finds himself into such. You know, people go through problems like that. And we need to talk about them. Oh, you say, oh, this is a piri pari wana pano. Oh, wa pozisha kuma skulu kuenda. You don't want me to talk about it here. The society has changed now.
They are teaching them in their schools.
There are things called masturbation. He's now a youth. Things begin to happen.
and he gets imprisoned to that. And usually it brings psychological disorder. A child will be with friends, but aone kata sowa enda patale. Young man, take care of your mind. Don't allow that dirt and filth to corrupt you. It will bring you problems. Now remember, people who are doing those things, they're doing it for business. Did you hear that? A number of them have to go in drugs before they perform such acts. Because they want to excite themselves. And here is a man. Even some people who are married, they can get addicted to those things. So he goes into those things and he has expectation. What he doesn't know is that he is from watching a commercial product. And he begins to trouble his wife over that. These things are in newspapers. They're in public domain. Listen to the court news and you say, oh my. And young people read those things on Facebook and all that. Hear me. You need to go before God. Repent. Say, Lord, forgive me. Do you know those things used to happen in the Bible days also? Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I want to look on a woman or a girl or a lady in a wrong way, you know? When you open your mind to doorway of evil spirits, they enter in quickly and captivate your mind. And what happens in the mind ultimately becomes your life. First, you are single and everything is okay, but you've opened that doorway, that window to your mind. It starts from watching what you are watching. Later on, you start to have an appetite to experience what you are watching. And the first girl you get close to, that will open a doorway for you to do a wrong thing. Young man, young lady, listen to this as I close. Right now, your parents are keeping you. You need food, they buy. You want a new uniform, they give you. Ikachedwa breakfast, yachedwa little breakfast. Food comes. Yeah.
When breakfast is ready, you say breakfast is ready.
You think it's a right. If your parents are still alive, call that a privilege. The moment you lose your way, and you meet with a girl, and do those things you watch, your innocency will go. A new door to a new world has just opened. It only took you 10 seconds to enjoy what you were doing. But your whole life has just taken a different direction now. Boys, they will continue being boys. But if you're a girl, it's terrible. It's a crisis. Every time now, you have a baby, kushishira. You are supposed to be in school. School gets disrupted. Is it true? Are we speaking the truth? Nishapo manje wakula.
Olo wenze kamfana ukankara kabebi wakula manje. So vopemba pemba all the time. You've just brought in a problem in a home. Right? They used to take you to school. Wenze kukusunga, manje wambosungira po na wina futi bebi amena abuela. Brother Piri, chitankwani mtima chani kaili, leka ni kambe ni fikepo. Because these are problems. These are problems, I'm telling you. When a parent is raising a child, it's a lot of sacrifice that goes in. School fees, money. Only to end up with a damage? You think there's a parent who is happy with that? Is there a parent who is happy? Is there one who will be happy? Eh, muzikulu abwele, but in the right way. That's a problem in two ways. It brings a problem to your parent. Big headache. Big headache. It also brings a problem to that child who has come in the world without a proper family setup. Mwana, kuti akule molongo soka. You need both the father and the mother to be present. Is that correct? Now, when a young girl is damaged, usually problem comes on the young girl. Maybe chistana impregnant msika na wina. That's the problem of society we have.
Maybe he's going to impregnate another one.
And the problem we have, teaching is emphasized on young girls, not on boys. Did you notice that? Kambiri kumatenga munyamata. I mean, musika na tukumkazika pansi. Manje, what do you call puberty level? Anka damwali. Moi, So you bring women, mumpunzise, mumkalise pansi and all that. But our boys grow up without lessons. Did you notice that? Is that true? So him, he thinks he can plant seeds anywhere at Ndeu Mamuna. The girl stops school. The boy continues going to school. That's how bad this society is. It's a big problem. Children start growing up. They don't know their fathers. Raising a child is no simple work. That child did not write a letter to be born. School fees. Mentoring the child. Bringing them up to a level where they can reason properly. That's no simple work. And you know, for someone to be a doctor, they go to school. I mean, Brother Chavula has killed 7 years or so. To be an engineer, you go to school, right? To be a banker, you went through university, isn't it? Even kushokelela tabe mado, you need to be trained. Tell me one kind of work you don't need to go for training. I don't need it. Vamena chita Ted Dipaja. He needed to do some schooling. Kuta chite vamena chita. But chikwate. Chifuwa wa unatundevu chaba. Na ine nenga kwatele. That's the problem of society. That is why here, before you get married, we put you on a course first. We teach you how to manage finances. How to manage your emotions. Because we can't just get into this thing without this. But young people, women are better because they get at kuwalanga. These things are not happening to young men. They just watch. So they get in marriage. Very mature here. Doesn't understand how to manage a budget properly. Doesn't understand emotional intelligence. So, ka argument kangono, small argument. Throw it punches. And my work. Very simple thing. Why have we come to a place like that? The problem did not start in marriage. The problem started in our homes. If you are a parent, that boy you are raising will be someone's husband one day. Ngati ni chipuva azavutisa vana, azavutisa mwana mkazi, azachokera from a home. When a girl child was being raised, ask some brothers who have daughters here. I've never seen Brother Mansa so soft towards his child, but when it's Rohama, oh my. You can see that attachment. Ask Brother Silungwe. He has daughters. Brother Simkoko has daughters. What goes in raising those? You know, raising a daughter is a lot of sacrifice. Because you are raising a human being for another person. Did you realize that? Brother Masa, muli pira maskufi is pari Rohama. Mufuna kaende ku university. That's, he's doing that with all his heart. Brother Smukoka has bigger girls. He has seen them grow from young up to where they are. He has to pay for school fees. He has to do all those things. Now, can you imagine all that work he does? It's for another man. Basi watenga, I do. Then he gets. And then something happens and this man slaps this girl. I wonder how fathers would feel when they see what their daughters go through. That is why on the journey on that hill, let us take our children there. That's why ni makalipa ni nikaona wana swabwera ku Sunday school. Because I only have boys, by the way, you know. So sometimes when I ask, hey, children are not coming for Sunday school, what is going on? A mistake order. Because they look like girls tomorrow. They are mothers of tomorrow. Give it 50 years. It won't be us preaching here. These small boys you see here, fasting. You are seeing deacons of tomorrow. We may not have a church the way it looks today. Do whatever you can when there's a church program. Let them sit in the uphill there, in the presence of God. Because if a child is a problem, there are children in him. They are also in problems. So let's be each other's keeper. Shall we stand? Praise the Lord. I want us to pray for families. If you have children, pray for them. Let us pray for young people. What they need is the Holy Spirit baptism. When they catch the vision, when they get filled with the Holy Spirit, you won't worry where they are, whether they are in school, whether they are in boarding. They'll have that thing which keeps them in the way. Parents, is that our prayer request? Let's just take a moment to pray. Go ahead and just speak to the Lord this time. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful this morning. Thank you, Father, for granting us this opportunity to gather together. We see, Lord, there's so much vanity. We are in a world which has so much vanity. A world which is full of dirty hands. A world which is full of falsehood. A world which is full of all these unclean things. And now these unclean things have gone public. They are on the phones. They are on television. The language is all polluted. And now, Lord, we have to speak on these things right from the pulpit. It is my prayer that as your word has gone forth, let it deliver, let it heal, let it bind that which is broken. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.